Greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph. We're now in tape 109. And again, we're in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, now, in verse 1, where Peter is writing again to the children of Israel who are in Asia Minor, on the other side of it, the other side of the river, that is, the great river, Euphrates. That's where the children of Israel were in that time, along the Caspian Sea or the Black Sea. And he's writing again from Babylon, from the center of the Jewish community where he was serving. That was natural for him, being the apostle to the circumcision, to go to the great community of Israel, of Judah, that is, in Babylon. And from there he did his work, and that became sort of his headquarters, apparently. And from there he traveled to the children of Israel and to other places, wherever they were. And so he's writing to them again, from this point, from Babylon, from the center of the Jewish community. And so he tells them in verse 1, chapter 3, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets." And again, he's speaking about the prophets of Israel, their own prophets. Most of them they have known, with the exception of Jeremiah. They have not known him personally, because by then they were taken to captivity, but still they heard about him, because he prophesied also to them, and God sent him also to prophesy to them. Or he told him, "You go speak to the north, tell the children of Israel, return unto me, for I am married unto you." And God speaks about the future, the way things are going to be. And so from that point of view, he sent him to prophesy to the children of Israel. But in either case, they have known the holy prophets of Israel. They were their own prophets, and this is what Peter is reminding them. He says that you be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. And mind you, when you go through the prophets, as we went through many parts of the prophecies of the prophets, what did they tell them? To repent, to turn away from their evil deeds, to come back to the law of Israel, to the Torah, to come back to their God. And he told them that he's going to redeem them and bring them back at the end time. And so he's reminding them, and all the promises that he made to them, to bring them back to their own land, and to redeem them, and to wash them, and to give them the Holy Spirit, and to send them the Savior. And so he's reminding them of all these things. And so he said, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And you don't see Peter inventing any new theology either. Just like Paul. And Peter just like Paul, and Paul just like Peter. They all preach the same theology, the same truth, the same word, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, the Psalms. And they were speaking all to the children of Israel, and Paul also to some of the Gentiles also, and Peter also to some of the Gentiles, obviously, that were among the children of Israel. But mainly his commission was to the children of Israel. And so both of them were reminding the children of Israel, wherever they spoke to them. And as for the Gentiles, they had to give them that knowledge of the prophets before they could speak about the prophets. But in this case, it's made very plain that these children of Israel, to whom the Apostle Peter was writing, knew very well the words of the prophets and the promises and all that God said through them. So let's take that into mind when we read these things and understanding for what they are. And so he says, be mindful of those words of the prophets, the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Because the apostles of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Jesus Christ, all were sent to the children of Israel. They were all commissioned to go to the lost house of Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. And so they received letters from all of them, and commandments from all of them, and teachings from all of them. And that's what he's referring to. And so he said, so in verse 3 he says to them, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, what fathers is he talking about? The fathers of Israel. You see, the ancestors of Israel. And the days of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the fathers of the children of Israel that came later on, other generations. And so this says, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And that's exactly the message that the false prophets of Israel were always giving to Israel when the prophets warned them about the coming calamities or captivity or destruction upon them if they do not repent and return to the fathers, to the covenant, to the God of Israel. And so they continue, the false prophets among the children of Israel, to speak the same thing. And he warned them, this is going to happen again. Even though he heard the truth. And of course, he saw that the coming of Christ was going to happen in his own days at that time, sometime soon. And so he's speaking from that point of view. And so he's telling them to be mindful of those kind of people and not to give in to those deceptions that would come soon after. Because he knew what the prophet said, that at the end time, and Christ warned them about it, many shall come in his name. And they generally thought from the point of view of many from the children, from among the children of Israel, because this is what they have experienced since the days of Moses, where false prophets would rise and try to lead them astray. Even the day when they were standing right there before Mount Sinai, false prophets rose and tried to get them back to go to Egypt, saying that Moses is gone. And so it's nothing new to them. And so from that point of view, he's speaking to them, prophets from the midst of the children of Israel. And this is what he was warning also the children of Israel. And then verse 8, let's go forward to verse 8. Speaking about the false prophets and their punishment, he says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And all of them, generally speaking, they are aware of the knowledge of God, of the truth of God, which they had been taught while they were in the land of Israel, heard that whenever they came to Jerusalem to keep the feasts, whenever they read the Psalms of David, because in Psalm 90, verse 4, this is what that statement was made. And so Peter is basically repeating a statement that was made a long time ago. And it is made by Moses, the man of God. And so they were aware of it. So he says, don't forget this. Why would you say don't forget this? Because they knew it. I said, don't forget what you have known all along. From the days of old, when you were in the land. And so he says, the Lord, in verse 9, is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Speaking by the children of Israel. Because he made all the statements through the prophets. He doesn't want any of them to perish. As he said through Hosea, that all the children of Israel may be scattered all over the place, yet none of them, you know, though he's going to put them through a sieve, none of them shall be lacking, none of them shall be missing, none of them shall perish, because God is going to, as Paul said, generally speaking, all Israel shall be saved. So God is not interested in any one of them to perish. And so that's what he's saying. This is the promise of God, and he's long-suffering toward us. And that's why he's been taking all these iniquities from us all these years and putting up with us generation after generation. Because, as he ultimately said through the prophets, he's going to bring us back to him, circumcise our hearts, and we shall fulfill the role for which we've been chosen to begin with. And being his wife, we're going to bear children, and these are the nations of the earth. And so he said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There again, you see the message that God never intended to forsake his people or reject them. And he told them that many times, and he's not a liar. And yet people make God a liar, and they make Jesus Christ a liar. And they claim to be so-called Christians. That doesn't make sense. And so he's warning them about that, not to believe those kind of liars. But the day of the Lord will come, verse 10, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and Isaiah spoke about it, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the Psalms spoke about it also. You read it in the Psalms, 102, many other places also. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And what is holy conduct and godliness? Only the Torah can determine that. That's what God constantly told the children of Israel. And these children of Israel are fully aware of that. Be you holy as I'm holy. And then he gave them the instructions that will make them holy and show them how. Whether it be unclean and unclean food, whether it be in this matter or that matter, whatever it may be. He showed them how to be godly and how to be holy. And that's what he's referring to them. And people who have no knowledge of the Torah, no knowledge of the Psalms, no knowledge of the prophets, they don't know what Paul, Peter, or any of the other disciples of Jesus Christ speaking about when they speak, when they use the words holiness or godliness or justification. You know, those become ethereal terminology to them. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of Elohim. And who is coming? Elohim. And who is that Elohim? Jesus Christ. He's making it very plain. And that Elohim is the deity that is sent from the El Elyon, which is the chief deity. So he's speaking, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, or Elohim, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And in this case, you might say he's speaking both ways. But the coming of Christ, the deity, the Lord, the Master, and also about the coming of the heavenly Jerusalem, where the Father himself, the Elohim, will come. So it's applicable to both comings, or the coming of Jesus Christ, and also the coming of the Father with heavenly Jerusalem, in which case, in both cases, there are going to be major changes. In the case of Jesus Christ, the major changes will be on the earth. In the coming of the Father, the major changes will be on the earth and in the heavens around it. And so that's double meaning here. And that's what Isaiah basically was speaking about, the ultimate, where the heavenly Jerusalem is coming. And also about the coming of Christ when he's going to be upon this earth. And people, many people that read through it, not having knowledge and understanding, not being wise, they got mixed up. They didn't know which is which. So they never understood the two time changes are going to be happening here on the earth and around it. And so verse 13, he tells them, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth. The very words of Isaiah, chapter 66, that's what God told Isaiah. So you see, the people of Israel are people who have great knowledge and understanding of the kingdom of God, of what it is all about, where is it going to be, who are going to be in it, who is going to be in the center of it, what people are going to be the people of God who are going to continue that, giving light to all the nations of the earth. And so he's writing to the children of Israel who had known all these things. They're not men who are in ignorance. At least the ones who have responded are more aware of it. They still retain measure of the knowledge of God. And as for the rest, they still had a measure of it. They've not all totally lost it. They just injected into it false doctrines, false teachings, as they still do to this very day. So they're mixing truth and error, but at least they still have a measure of the knowledge of the truth. And so he's not speaking in a vacuum here. And so he's saying, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth. The very thing that Father Abraham was looking forward to. The day when all of his children are going to be in that new heaven and new earth, and in heavenly Jerusalem, that is going to be right there where he went to sacrifice his son Isaac. Where his God and Lord and Master that spoke to him personally is also going to be offered, and he knew about it, for the sins of all mankind, to confirm all the promises that he was giving to the fathers. And then ultimately, when the Father himself, when everything has been cleansed and purged and purified and all human beings have been prepared for the coming of the Father, then he comes down on this earth with heavenly Jerusalem. And this is what he's speaking about, the ultimate now, beyond the coming of Jesus Christ, referring to what the fathers have been looking forward to. And if you do not fully comprehend the entirety of the whole story, you may not realize what he's talking about. Well, most people don't understand what he's talking about.
thinks about the coming of Christ at this point, and he's not. This is the ultimate one, the new heavens and the new earth. And so he says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness, not lawlessness, not people who say the law is done away with, I live by grace and faith, but righteousness, the Torah, the teachings of God, the entirety of the body of teachings that God gave them from the Garden of Eden to the time that is coming and beyond that. Only righteousness and only men who keep the commandment will be in that kingdom. Only men who do not say the Torah is done away with, but remember the words of the Master, don't think that the Torah is done away with, or that I came to do away with the Torah and the prophets, because until heaven and earth, and this is what he's talking about, until this point comes, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall be taken away from this Torah. All the teachings of the Father that he brought to mankind from the beginning that he created them, and then reconfirmed it with the fathers, and then brought it to Mount Sinai, and codified it, and added some more, on a temporary basis, for the children of Israel who were carnal and rebellious, and so forth. And so you have to regard the, you know, the look at the entirety of the story, and then you understand what he's talking about, and then you know the time element. Is he speaking about the coming of Christ? Is he speaking about the end time? You see? And the prophets knew the entirety of the story. They knew about the coming of Christ, and they knew about his first coming, and they knew about the time when he comes to rule the whole earth, and they knew about the time when the Father also will come with heaven in Jerusalem. And they spoke about the whole things. That's why Paul said, look, the tidings, the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. I don't think that's something new. Our fathers had known those things. And so righteousness is going to dwell there. And then, you know, when you go to Revelation, the end of the story, in chapter 21, you read about the same thing, about the coming of the heaven in Jerusalem. Chapter 21 and verse 1. And so he tells them, therefore, verse 14, beloved, looking forward to these things, you know, end result of all, just like Abraham did, not just for the coming of Christ, but beyond that, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. What creates spot and blame and blemishes? Iniquity, sins, transgression of the Torah. So the apostles never taught that the law is done away with. Now we've got a new theology, new religion, new church and all that, and we've got a new God. You see? They never regarded all the words that God spoke before that to Moses, to the prophets, as something that is old stuff, Old Testament. You see the great deception that came later on, and we to this very day are part of it, at least to a degree, at least in our terminology, and who knows how many other concepts. That's one reason why we do not even know who and what is the true Church of God. We swallowed, you know, a mixture of truth and error all this past 2,000 years. But we don't read the whole story from the beginning until the end, so we can stay in the light and remain the very elect and be the very elect that Satan cannot deceive. And those of us who are not going to put eye salve on their eyes and begin to look at the Word of God with the eyeglasses of God are going to be deceived when the time comes. As it is, many of us have been deceived and went back to the old vomit out of which they came. And so he says in verse 15, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. To whom? To the children of Israel. That was a part of the commission of the Apostle Paul. You go to the nations, you go to the kings, and you go to the children of Israel, lordship of the house of Israel. So Paul was covering all bases, because Paul, more than all the other apostles, was extremely well-versed in the entirety of the Torah of God, being extremely highly educated at the feet of Gamaliel. Therefore, through him, God could explain many, many things that he could not through the others, who were not as gifted as he was and learned as he was. And so his commission was all-encompassing. And he too wrote to the children of Israel, to whom now Peter, the apostle to the circumcision, is writing. He's not speaking about Gentiles here. He's speaking about the children of Israel and all their background and the history that they all had together in common with all the rest of the children of Israel. And so it says in verse 15, you consider, you know, those things that he wrote to you, the Apostle Paul. In verse 16, it's also in all his epistles, all of his writings, to all of you Israelites and to the Gentiles. It's also in verse 16, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, that is, talking about now Peter from the prophets, from Moses, from Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and so forth, and the Psalms. Is also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. Hard to understand by whom? If you know the entirety of the story, it's not hard to be understood. But if you don't, the unlearned among you, that's where the problem is. And so he says, in which some things hard to understand, which untaught or unlearned and unstable people twist to their own destruction. So by whom it is hard to be understood? By those who are unlearned and unstable, and they are to be this very day in our midst. That's what the problem is, and that's why many people, you know, go through the writings of the Apostle Paul, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, here and there, among the children of Israel, and among the people of God. They're all, you know, people of God, but they are those who have responded to the call and received the Holy Spirit. There are many among them who are also unlearned because they've not been taught properly the entirety of the Word of God from Genesis 1:1, methodically, word by word, until you fully comprehend and understand what the apostles are writing about, who are fully learned in the laws of God. As Paul says to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, and all of them were in that category. And some had a much greater knowledge and understanding than others, you know, as the Apostle Paul did. The ones among them that didn't pay much attention to the Word of God, just like today, and now they just read a few things here and then, they feel good about it, and that's it, and they close the book. And how they ever talk about it, don't revel in it, don't delight their soul in it, don't meditate on it day and night, don't speak about it all the time, don't sharpen one another, and have not been allowed to do it, but those who should have known better, or should have allowed them to do it, the teachers, and they created a great part of this deception, unfortunately, to begin with, among the people of God, and that's why many are untaught and unstable. And those are the people that twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, Peter is saying to the children of Israel. And for all those who are going to read it to this very day, both Israelite and non-Israelites. And that's exactly what you have seen in the last 2,000 years. And that's what you see among the children of Israel today who do not even know that they are children of Israel. They call themselves, you know, Christians and members of Christianity, and they are Catholics and they are Protestants. And of course there are others among them who are not Israelites. They are Gentiles. And they all think they are Gentiles. And they are all generally speaking, untaught. They are unlearned and they are unstable people in the Word of God. And so they twist the Word of God to their own destruction, as well as all the other Scriptures. You see, they're all one package deal. There's no Old Testament and New Testament. They're all Scriptures. That means they're all writings that God gave to His people to write down for the rest of humanity, for the children of Israel and the rest of humanity. But you see what people have done with it? They dissected it, they divided it, you know, for their own benefit, so they can do away with the Torah of God, with the Psalms and the writings of the prophecies, which they knew very well, those who are among them who read the prophets and realized it's speaking against them, it's not about them, the children of Israel are the church of God, and so they wanted to obliterate all that. That's why they tried so many times to burn the Bible wherever they could. And then they became totally blind. They could not even see what it says, even though they read it. And yet the message is very plain. And so, at times they do it even willfully when they know better what it really says, and they don't like it. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, you know all those things. You know, many of you know the history of your people, where you came from. You know the prophets. You know the Torah of Moses. And when you study history at that time, even though it was camouflaged and hidden, and many tried to destroy it and mock it, and they do to this very day, even though many have come to the knowledge of the truth of the history of Israel, they're now mocking it, making fun of it, making, you know, stupid statements about it, you know, foolish statements about it and so forth, that they have known better, and they do it willfully. You says, you beware of those things, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And that's what they are. And so you be careful. And so many in our midst who fell into the error of the wicked are being warned by Peter, by Apostle Paul, by the other disciples, and above all by God Himself, the Father, and Jesus Christ. You come back, get out of Babylon, come back to the faith, come back to the Torah, come back to the prophets, come back to the message, the tidings that has been preached from the beginning of time. And so he tells them, verse 18, that's how you understand this statement in this context. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. Grow in the knowledge of the prophets and the Torah. Not say it's done away with. I don't want you to study it. Don't speak to me about it. And as soon as you hear it, you resent it. You say, I just want New Testament. All you are saying to everybody, look, I'm a member of Babylon, of the Babylonish church. That's why I speak like that. It's to your own shame that you say that and believe that and understand that in that manner. God tells you, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't unless you read the entirety of the story. And you know who and what is the true church of God. And you know what are the instructions that were given to that church. The Torah, the writings, the prophets, the Psalms. You see, and all the magnification of it that came by Jesus Christ and His disciples, all based on the Torah. All of it, without exception. That's why when you read the New Testament, so-called, you know, that people call the New Testament, which is not New Testament, that's a continuation of the writings of God. Yes, they speak about the New Testament, but so does Jeremiah. You don't call Jeremiah the New Testament. And all the prophets spoke about all those things that the apostles were speaking about. You don't call it the New Testament. Those are the scriptures. This is the Word of God. The teachings. The entirety of it is called the Torah. Or the doctrine. That's what you read, you know, later on. The doctrines of the apostles or the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. The Torah. Same word. Same meaning. So it tells them, you grow in grace. And you cannot have grace if you are disobedient to the Torah. So you cannot grow in grace unless you are obedient to the Torah. That's why God, you know, tells us when He came in the flesh, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And when He comes down again as the King of Kings and the Lord of the whole earth, the Eternal, Jehovah, He will tell people, why do you tell me, you know, Lord, Lord? You call upon me, Lord, Lord, and you do not the commandments that I gave you, the Torah that I gave you. You know? And others He will tell them, you're lawless. So what? You did all those good works. What does that mean? If you are lawless, if you hate my Torah, if you resent it, that's my nature and mind and character, and that's the only way you can be like me. The hope of glory. If my word abides in you, if my Torah abides in you, if the words of the prophets abide in you, only then I will show you grace. Otherwise, get out of here. And so he tells them, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And remember who He is. As Paul made it very plain. The one that Israel followed, the spiritual rock, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Savior of Israel. That's the one that said, I am the Savior and beside me there is none. Through Isaiah and many others to the children of Israel. This is the context, and he's speaking to the children of Israel. And if you don't understand it from that point of view, you don't understand anything. You're just kidding yourself. And so it says, to Him be glory, be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And a lot of people are reading all these words and have no basis, have no background, have no knowledge, no understanding, taking it totally out of context and fixing it into the new theology that is anything but theology, the study of God. That's the study of the false God. That's the kind of theology people have. And they call it Christianity. And they're all mixed up. And here and there, now they get some bits and pieces of good information because it deals with morality. And that, even the unconverted can understand. But as for the spiritual things that Paul said, those are spiritually discerned. You don't need to have the Holy Spirit to understand about fornication and about murder and thievery and many matters of morality. As they call it, the Judeo-Christian ethics. You know, you can be a communist and understand all the things and live by them. You can be a Buddhist and any other religion. But when it comes to the matters that are spiritually discerned, we're discussing here many of these things. Unless the Spirit of God is in you and the Word of God, the knowledge of God, the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, the writings, the magnification of it, in you, and unless God is dealing with you and your eyes have been opened by Him and not because some people told you from the pulpit or whatever it may be, you just don't get it. You know, you're not different, you know, as Paul said, than a cow that tries to understand what her master is speaking to her. And that's a very example he's using. You know, animals don't understand what people tell them. You know, they don't speak the language. They don't have that ability to comprehend and perceive. They don't have the same spirit. And so it is with the spiritual knowledge. You say they are spiritually discerned. Only those who have the Spirit of God, not those who think they do. They are the ones that can understand it. That's why many of us have been in darkness, and that's why God says, come out of Babylon. When you come out of Babylon, then I'll give you all this knowledge and understanding and put my spirit in you and circumcise your heart. So you don't live in a fairy tale stories and fables and things that this is all true. That's what God says, people will be the end time. Anyway, let's go forward to the book of John now, 1 John. Again, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the disciple, also sent to the children of Israel, and he's also writing to the ones that God is going to graft from the other nations. And this is what we read now in chapter 2. I mean, there's an awful lot that we can go through and understand about the commandments of God, you know, the law of God. That, for example, he says in chapter 1 and verse 4, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, his Torah. What do you think John, a Jew, from the household of Judah and of Israel, when he says commandments, what do you think he's talking about? You know, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. Commandments of God, all the 613 that he gave in the Torah and all the others that he gave later on, as time went by. That's what he's saying here. He who says, I know him, I know the Lord, I know Jesus, or I know God, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. And how many of us are in this category who call ourselves so-called Christians? Members of Christianity. God says they're a whole bunch of liars. And he's going to tell you that in the face when the time comes. When you come to him and say, Lord, Lord, open the door. He says, you know, why do you call me Lord? You don't keep my commandments. So what? You did all those good works, big works, you know. But you are lawless. You don't keep my Torah. You said the Torah is done away with. You said the Torah is bad for us. It's terrible. It's not good. I just live by faith and grace. You see? This is what God is saying to you now. Through the Apostle John, his servant, a member of the household of Israel, of Judah in particular. So in chapter 2, we'll just go to chapter 2. We don't need to cover the entirety of the Bible. You read it for yourself. And in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, we read, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. You see? What is sin? Transgression of the Torah. You see what was the emphasis of all the apostles of Christ, of all the disciples of Christ? Law, the Torah, and faith. You see? Obedience to God. And that's why you need to have repentance toward God and then faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the one through whom your sins are going to be blotted out so He can come before God as an obedient servant of God, as a person who keeps the Torah and loves the Torah and internalizes the Torah until He becomes the Torah. That's what it means, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's what it means. Jesus is the end result of the Torah. Every law, every statute, every judgment, every precept, every testimony, every teaching, everything that is said, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is a building block of the entirety of the body that will make a person just like Jesus Christ. See? And far beyond that, whatever God inspires through that word, which is far deeper, that cannot even be explained in words or in deeds. But it is from mind to mind, from his mind to our mind. And you see the false doctrine that came about by the false church that deceived the whole world, and that's why God says, Satan, the devil that deceives the whole world, he does it through his church that has many, many manifestations throughout the entirety of the earth from the time that it was established in Babylon, out of which God says to Abraham, get out of this place. And so he tells these people to this very day because they never came out of it. That's why. When he says to us, come out of Babylon, because he knows we're still there. And so he says, verse 2, and he himself, that is Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And how would the world going to know, how is it that the nations of the earth are going to know about the Word of God, the law of God, the Torah of God, unless Israel fulfills their destiny to be the light of the nations? Is he told Jacob? Many places. Like in Isaiah you read, I made you a light to the nations. And therefore you're going to inherit all the nations. You're going to become your children by teaching them the Torah of God, not by telling them the law is done away with. And that's exactly what the children of Israel today, who do not even know they are the children of Israel, they all think they're Gentiles, but the majority of them went into captivity with the term, you know, lost sheep of the house of Israel. Many, many of the Jews also that rejected the religion a long time ago, they too are saying the very same things. And yet only a very small core of the Jewish nation retain their identity. Not even all the Jews, but only a small portion of them, and even among them, only a small portion of them are even bothering to study the Torah. Or walking in it, and still, you know, therefore retain a greater measure of knowledge and understanding of the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms and all that. But even many among them are spending too much time in their own writings and the writings of men, not the writings of God, and so they too are confused to a large degree. All of us are in Babylon to one degree or the other. And so he says, Christ, therefore, has given his life for the entirety of the whole earth. But first he came for his own wife. He came to his own to atone for the sins of his own. He confirmed the promises to the fathers so that through his own, his wife, that he's going to remarry, now without spot and blemish, that is, without transgression of the Torah, she's going to be a holy bride and therefore a glorious bride and therefore a good, fitting mother to teach the rest of humanity who are going to be the children. That's the message. That's the gospel that has been preached from the days of old. That's what Paul is talking about. And yet this is not what the so-called Christianity knows. They've been told fairy tales and a lot of lies and a little bit of truth. And the whole thing, they are in the walking on the way toward God, and they're walking anywhere but toward God. They're walking into space. They're going to be marooned. Verse 3, now by this, we know that we know Him. How do we know that we know God? If we keep His commandments, His Torah, His teachings, His doctrine, His statutes and judgments and precepts and testimonies and ordinances that Moses told them from the beginning. And here he's writing, also in specific to the children of Israel and as well as to others. And he's telling them exactly what Moses told them. If you keep this Torah, these commandments and statutes and judgments that I give you before, now from Sinai, from God Himself, then you will be a holy people to God. Then you will be with Him forever. You know, then we will fulfill all the promises that He made to the fathers. And then after that, he told them, when God sends you into captivity because you're a bunch of rebel rousers, he knew they're going to be rebellious. God told him that. He told them to the end of their history, at the time of the coming of the Messiah, of the Master, of their God, the one that just married them in Sinai. He said, when he brings you back and circumcises the foreskin of your heart, and you become obedient now to the Torah that I gave you now, to the statutes and judgments and precepts and testimonies, not your own invention of terminology, whatever it may be that you come up with. He says, then you are going to come back and obey all these things that I gave you today. And that's why John here, 2,000 years down the road, at this point, 1,500 years down the road, is basically saying what Moses said. He's not giving any new theology here. He says that those who know him can know him only by obeying his commandments. And therefore, in verse 4, as we already read, he who says, I know him, In spite of that, in spite of the fact that he says the Torah is done away with and I don't need to obey the Old Testament and all those Jewish laws, in spite of that, there are people who say, I know the Lord. The Lord is in my heart. I give my heart to the Lord. And they're all a bunch of liars. That's what God is saying here through the Apostle John and through all the other apostles. He says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his Torah or his commandments, is a liar. That's the gospel of love. As John is called, the apostle of love. What is love? Fulfilling all the Torah. How many believe in that? So people think they've got love in their heart, and they don't even know what love is. So if we love him, we'll obey him. We'll keep his commandments. We'll keep his Torah. That's what he's done away with. Because that's his nature. That's his mind and character. How can you say, God, your nature is done away with. I hate it. I abhor it. I resent it. You know? It's old stuff. It's Jewish. But I love you. That's why he says you're a liar if you speak like that. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, his truth. You see? His Torah. Whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By every law that you keep, by every commandment. And then when you leave it in the spirit, not only in the letter, that's why Christ said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness, not unrighteousness, but the righteousness that is in the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were all keeping the law of God in a very minute way, very detailed way, and then added all their own stuff on top of it, and oftentimes making the law of God of none effect. See? But at least they still recognize the Torah. They never say it's done away with. You never hear a Jew ever saying it's done away with. You know, they will say, well, I don't want to keep it, but they wouldn't say it's done away with. They're not that stupid. They're not that blind. As blind as they are, they're not that blind. But look what happened to the children of Israel. They said the Torah is done away with. It's not for us. Total blindness. That's why his own people, Apostle Paul, said that they are partly blind. You know, blindness in part fell upon, you know, the people that he's talking about. And we must come out of it. Not be totally blind to it. And at least in these areas, about the keeping of the law, the need to keep it, and the need to internalize it, and to walk in it. And so he says, whoever keeps his word and his truth, truly, the love of God, which is the fulfilling of the Torah, that's what the love of God is all about. When you love God, you fulfill His Torah. You know, you walk by the royal law, toward God and toward men. And you cannot do it unless you know the Torah. What is love and what is not? You must admit that many of us have been extremely deficient in that because our leaders have been extremely deficient in that. That's why there has never been a class teaching the Torah in the institution that many of us went through. The past many years. And that's why even in your own congregations all these years, you have never had a continuing and ongoing Bible study or a class that teaches you word for word what the Torah of the living God is. And so we are kidding ourselves to think that we have the love of God in us. Oh, we may have a measure of it, a part of it, or that we know God. You know Him through His Torah. That's how you know Him. How do you know anything about a person? Well, you listen to him and you hear him and you experience him and you see what he feels about this and about that, and that's how you strike a conversation and begin to know a person. But when you say to a person, I don't want to know anything about you and I just want to know you, that doesn't make sense. Or I love you, you know, without even knowing anything about you, or I don't want to know anything about you and what you think, what you feel, what you like, what you don't. That's how God describes himself through the Torah. That's his nature and his character. And then those who go deeply into it discover even far more than you find on the surface. And that God reserves that only to those who dig very, very deeply. Those who hunger. Not come on, you know, not hungry to the table and say, I'm not really hungry. Well, I'll just do you a favor a little bit here and touch that and taste that and all that so you don't get offended. You see, that's the attitude of many people toward the Torah of God. You know, just a little bit on the surface, and you know, after that, leave me alone. You know, don't bother me with the rest. Let me go do my own thing. You know, God says, unless you hunger for me and thirst for me wholeheartedly, as David would say, as many others, you know, would say, but their love toward God was so deep that they were hungry. You know, they were so thirsty for it. They were so hungry for it to be filled. And that's what John is speaking about here. A man who is fully well versed, you know, in the scriptures, in the Torah, in the prophets, in the writings of the Psalms, you know, David and others, in the writings of the apostles, and all the other writings, and all those things that Christ spoke to them personally, magnifying those things that he spoke to the prophets beforehand, the days of old, to the people of Israel. And so that's what he's saying to us, to this very day. And how many are listening? And so he says, he, verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And if you don't read the entirety of the story, you don't know how he walked. What he's talking about. You see? And so he continued through the entirety of this epistles of John. Only then you can begin to understand what he's talking about, otherwise you don't. And then let's go to verse 18, where he continues by saying, little children, you know, read all those things in between. Just like you read any other novel, and many of you are reading hundreds and hundreds of books, you know, throughout the entirety of your life, all kind of novels, and none of you, you know, picks up the Bible, generally speaking, only very few do it, and read it word for word and meditating on it day and night, more than any other thing that you do. You see? Few do it. Few hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's why the Father searches, looks, as Christ said to the Samaritan woman in John 4. The Father looks, searches for those people who would worship him in truth and in spirit. A very few people like that. Verse 18, little children, he says, it is the last hour. I mean, he too at this point believes that this is the end time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, what is the Antichrist? The ones that came and said, you know, hey, don't need to obey the law of God. You just live by grace. Do whatever you want. You know, let us see that grace may abound. These are the Antichrist, and they've been around all the time, to this very day. In our midst, there are a lot of those Antichrist who speak evil of the Torah. Well, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people.
The preceding message was taken from the World Wide website at address www.biblestudy.org. This site is sponsored by Barnabas Ministries. Bible Study. You have questions? The Bible has answers.